Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hey, it's Rosh Hashanah again. Only this time it's the Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus. Hi, I'm Herschel Lynn. And you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And yes, this Saturday night is the 19th of Kislev and is also known as the new Hasidic year. And it's also the 18th Chai anniversary of your host and his wife, Gila. Now, how many people do you know that got married on Rosh Hashanah? Well, that's this week's trivia question. Back to business here. The Shabbos is Parshas Vayishlach and has the distinction of having the earliest candlelighting time of the year. We now have Yaakov returning to the Holy Land after 20 years with that nefarious Dr. Lotob. Some people know him as Levin. He now heads out to meet another nemesis, his brother Esav. Remember, before Esav wanted to kill Yaakov for buying his birthright, he sends emissaries to tell our hero that Esav is on the warpath and still wants to kill him. So what does Yaakov do? Well, he prepares for war first, then prays to God for help, but also sends gifts to Esav to try and appease him. Can't rely on miracles, you know. Even Yaakov can't do that. And that night he fights with the angel, hurts his hip, but prevails and earns the name Yisroel, or Israel. And the two finally meet up. They kiss instead of fighting, and Esav goes his way, and Yaakov goes his way to meet up again when Mashiach comes. Hopefully immediately. Now, mamash. And speaking of meeting, our staff is back to meet and bring you the best in educational Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Devorah DeLint. So sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. First, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in the half hour. Our special guest today is Kristen and Matt Collar, the volunteer coordinators for the United Jewish Federation Mitzvah Day, which is a very unique, exciting project that binds the entire community in meaningful projects. So keep cooking and keep listening. And don't forget to take time now to make a resolution to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week for reduced rate. Send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net or call 412-979-5770 and we'll let you in on all the details. You want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo, and his story segment is sponsored by A Jewish Cowboy, offering Stetson hats. The community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular feminine perspective is available for sponsorship, as is Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. Entire staff does work hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift, a beautiful refrigerator magnet, yours free. Call us at 412-979-5770, or you can send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is at its earliest time, no later than 4:35 p.m. Once again, Moshe Bakar on remote.
You got it right there. 'Cause another week's come by. And oh, how the time flies. It's Shabbos again. And 1 week to Chanukah, otherwise known as Hanukkah or Hanukkah.
There's a song, you know, Chanukkah.
You got it. But 1 week away, what do you know? Well, I'm ready and in the mood for Shabbos, and I hope our listening audience is too. So let's get you going in the tapping mood with a little Ligabay and Mitzvah. That's right here on the J.E.
Come on. doch loli, oi, spisi mit oli, oi, spisi hegen von Tommy. Mittwoch, doch loli, oi, spisi mit oli, oi, spisi hegen von Tommy. Mittwoch, doch loli, oi, spisi mit oli, oi, spisi hegen von Tommy.
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refua Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In Parsha's Vayishlach, the Torah tells us that when Yaakov was about to meet his brother Esav, he sent the following message, Im Lovon Garti, I have sojourned in the house of Lavan. Chazal tell us that the very word that Yaakov used to express his stay in the house of Lavan, Garti, a sojourner, the letters can also be formed to spell the word Taryag, meaning 613. Yaakov was thus telling Esav that even though he has now lived together in the house of Lavan, nevertheless, he was meticulous in keeping the 613 mitzvos. The two interpretations have a connection. The simple meaning of the word Taryag, which is 613 mitzvos, and the word Garti, which means to be a sojourner, a stranger. It was specifically because Yaakov lived in the house of Lavan as a stranger. Everything that Lavan represented remained strange to Yaakov. Yaakov's endeavor was in Torah and mitzvahs, and in this way, even in the environment of Lavan, he was able to remain steadfast in his Torah and mitzvahs. There is a story of a villager who came to the Mizritcher Magid's house. Coming to the street where the Magid lived, the villager was again appalled at the sight of the twisted, small, hunched-over, broken-down houses, each one worse than its neighbor. So deep was the mud in the alley that it did not dry up even in the hottest summer days. In the Magid's house, the guests found that the table had disappeared. The low blocks around the wall served as beds for the Magid's children. The Magid was overjoyed to receive personal regards from his master, the Baal Shem Tov, and he asked these two most welcome guests to make themselves comfortable and to sit down, showing them places around the wall. After having fulfilled his mission, the villager could no longer contain himself. Turning to the Magid, he said, "I hardly know what to say to you. I myself am far from being a rich man, but if you will come to me at home, you will find, Baruch Hashem, a chair, a table, a bed for the children, and other furniture." Replied the Magid, "At home? At home is different, a different story altogether." The Magid's answer impressed itself even upon the mind of those two simple villagers. The world, with all its comforts, with all its palaces and mansions, and all its material possessions, is nothing more than a tent, erected during the journey of life to sleep over for a night or rest for a day or two. And on a journey, after all, only the bare necessities of eating and sleeping are required. But when the journey is over and one comes home, well, at home, it's different.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
The Babylonian Talmud, a monumental work of scholarship, has become the heart and soul of the Jewish people. Even the word scholarship is defined as one's knowledge of the Talmud. Its study has given Jews many things, not the least of which is succor and strength to withstand all the vicissitudes of life. An all-encompassing work, the Talmud discusses not only law and ethics, but also practical matters such as investment strategy and unhealthful practices. Its eclectic topics range from the distribution of profits in a partnership to the state of the world in the Messianic era. Humorous anecdotes are related, such as the story of the man who boxed his friend's ear and was fined half a zuz, a type of coin. However, since the boxer had only a one zuz coin and his friend had no change, he boxed his friend's ear again and told him to keep the change. Heartbreaking stories are also told, such as the terrible suffering of the Jewish people at the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. Perhaps because of its greatness, throughout the generations, the Talmud has been the target of anti-Semites, who know that to destroy the Talmud is to destroy the Jewish people. It was publicly burned in the Middle Ages and again by the Nazis. For example, in 1940, the Reich Security Main Office sent the following directive to German authorities in Poland. The continued emigration of Jews from Eastern Europe to the West spells a continued spiritual regeneration of world Jewry, as it is mainly the Eastern Jews who supply a large proportion of the rabbis, Talmud teachers, etc., owing to their Orthodox religious beliefs, and they are urgently needed by Jewish organizations active in the United States. Transmitted with remarkable accuracy over the generations, the Talmud has survived the inevitable mistakes that creep in due to hand copying such vast material. To this day, Jews spend countless hours engrossed in its study, with many scholars devoting their lives to immersion in the sea of Talmud. A popular system of study known as Daf Yomi was instituted in 1923. Participants study one page each day, completing the Talmud's 2,711 pages in 7.5 years. A massive worldwide celebration is held at the end of the cycle, where many thousands of Jews gather in such immense arenas as New York's Madison Square Garden and Nassau Coliseum, with others following on satellite hookups or staging their own celebrations. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
So there you have it. Thanks, Rabbi Eisen. This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262. Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni is traveling to Washington, D.C. for a meeting with United States Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in the first visit to Capitol Hill by an Israeli official since the release of the Iraq Study Group report this past week. Among other things, the document calls on Israel to give away the Golan Heights in a peace agreement with Syria. Edward Jerejian, one of the study's principal advisors, has insisted to the Jerusalem Post that the report does not constitute a bid to force Israel into concessions in order to solve the Iraq crisis. Quoting Jerejian, no one in the group was advocating pressing Israel. What we are advocating is a strategic diplomatic approach to shift the dynamic. Jerejian says the goal is to, in his words, test the intentions of Israel's neighbors. Jerejian is a former U.S. ambassador to Israel and Syria who heads former Secretary of State James Baker's Institute for Public Policy, one of the think tanks sponsoring the Iraq Study Group. He said Thursday's announcement that Prime Minister Tony Blair would be traveling to the region seemed to signal the first endorsement of the report's call for a new diplomatic offensive. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has rejected the report's linkage between U.S. problems in Iraq and the Israeli-Arab issue and said he was confident the Bush administration would not press Israel into opening direct talks with Syria as advocated by the report. Labor Party leadership contender Donny Yatom is traveling to the United States to raise funds to launch his party leadership election campaign. The itinerary for the member of Knesset includes parlor meetings as well as appearances at Jewish Federation functions. Fellow Labor member of Knesset Ofer Paz-Pinas is also raising funds in the U.S. as he sets his sights on the party's top spot. Pinas recently resigned from the cabinet in protest over the agreement signed to include the Yisrael Beiteinu Party in the coalition government. Labor Party activist Shakib Shanan, a member of the Druze community, is being considered for the vacant science and culture portfolio by party leader Defense Minister Amir Peretz. Shanan, a resident of the Upper Galilee, was a strong campaign supporter of Peretz and only missed the Knesset seat by a few dozen votes. With the cabinet slot vacated by the recent resignation of Paz-Pinas, Peretz is signaling that he may select Shanan to fill the ministry. With Hezbollah terrorist leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah calling for an escalation in the so-called nonviolent attempt to overthrow the government of Prime Minister Fuad Senora, National Infrastructure Minister Benjamin Ben Eliezer has told Army Radio that it appears Lebanon is going to fall into Hezbollah hands, which means the country will become a satellite of Iran. Ben Eliezer, another candidate for the Labor chairmanship. The retired brigadier general and former defense minister says there is nothing Israel can do to stop or influence the process, but must concern itself with preparing for the next military conflict with Hezbollah. The offices of the Prime Minister and the State Controller have resolved a dispute that resulted in a 3-month delay in documents requested by Controller Michal Lindenstrauss being supplied by the Prime Minister's office. The Controller's office investigating the government's performance in this summer's Lebanon war. The government's basic law requires that government offices under investigation provide documents and cooperate with the State Controller's office without delay. The material requested includes minutes of government and security cabinet meetings for the past 3 months. Stating that the minutes contain classified material and citing other reasons, members of the Prime Minister's staff had not cooperated until the Controller more clearly defined the war-related subject he was interested in. While it was agreed that the Controller would not deal in the conduct of the war, some of the areas the office is probing are sensitive. They include Israel's intelligence and other aspects of defense preparedness. The PLO Executive Council meeting Sunday to discuss the recommendations of a special panel on the failure of the unity government talks between Abu Mazen's Fatah faction and Hamas. Panel members say their choice is disbanding of the current Hamas government and the calling of new elections. PLO Chairman Mahmoud Abbas says he'll announce the decision during a speech this week. A Hamas member of the PLO Legislative Council says the terror faction is prepared to field a candidate to challenge Abbas, although he did not give the candidate's name. Next Shabbat marks the start of Hanukkah, famous in the West for potato pancakes known in Russian or Ukrainian Yiddish as latkes and levivot in Hebrew. Want to find out about cheese latkes? Listen to the Eshet Chayil show with Malka Fleischer on demand on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. This Shabbat, Yud-Chet of the 18th of Kislev on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast clear to partly cloudy and warmer through Shabbat. Temperatures going down on Sunday and Monday. In Jerusalem and the Golan Heights on Friday, 17 degrees centigrade, 63 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 24 degrees centigrade, 75 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea and Haifa, 22 degrees centigrade, 72 Fahrenheit. Beersheba, 21 degrees centigrade, 70 Fahrenheit. Tel Aviv, 20 degrees centigrade, 68 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And let's
take a look at some of the mazel tovs that we have in the community this week. Rabbi and Mrs. Yisroel Dolnikov on the birth and bris of their son. Rabbi and Mrs. Zev Lesnick on the birth of a daughter. Rabbi and Mrs. Yosef Eisen in the bar mitzvah of Ben Sion. A lot of rabbis this week. Mr. and Mrs. Perry Abramowitz on their recent marriage. And Jeff and Elaine Joseph's son on the engagement of their son. As we take a look at some events around the community, Squirrel Hill Kosher Super Pantry Hungry for Bingo event, 12:30 to 4 p.m. at the JCC Katz Auditorium, Sunday, December 10th. The Hanukkah Extravaganza at Lubavitch Center, Thursday, December 21st. Face painting, magic, auction, and more. Call 412-422-7300 for more information. The UJF Mitzvah Day, which you've heard earlier and will hear more of, December 25th. And they're just asking you to just go out and do one. Self-Defense, a Jewish Perspective, Continuing Legal Education class for lawyers is not just for lawyers. Monday, December 11, 2006 at 11:45 p.m. And the talk will be at 12 to 1, Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. Call Rabbi Zev Silver for more information or to register. The Breakfast Club Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. for men and women at the Kollel Jewish Learning Center. The Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Program is a recovery group, people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Very successful program. For more information, call Elon at 412-422-2224. Don't forget, if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770 or email us at jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is the earliest, 4:35 p.m.
Yeah. Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but He promised Israel to His chosen people, hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
I'd like to welcome today to the microphones Kristen and Matt Keller, who are the co-chairs of the United Jewish Federation Mitzvah Day, which is coming up here December 25th. Kristen and Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, then as co-chairs and husband and wife, what is Mitzvah Day? How did you guys get involved in it, and what is this project?
Well, Mitzvah Day is sponsored by the United Jewish Federation, and pretty much it started out with we have a great community here in Pittsburgh that we all belong to, and on December 25th, when many of our friends and neighbors are celebrating Christmas Day, we're all sitting around and looking for something good to do, so the folks at UJF came up with the idea to sponsor this Mitzvah Day, sending out groups of volunteers to different community organizations that still need staffing, even though many people are celebrating a holiday, and it gives us an opportunity to give back to our community and that some of our friends and neighbors have at least a couple of hours off, if nothing else.
That's very nice. And who came up with this? I mean, I know the UJF specifically has the project, but is there somebody there that was a result of a meeting, or how did the idea come together?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I can tell you that now through United Jewish Federation, it's done by the Young Adult Division and Shalom Pittsburgh.
Okay. And is this something done just in Pittsburgh, or is it United Jewish Federations across the country?
Lots of federations around the country do their own version of Mitzvah Day.
Okay.
You know that Pittsburgh has one of the largest and most active Mitzvah Day projects.
Oh, great. Well, give us an idea of some of the projects that you're involved in, some of the organizations that you look forward to assisting on December 25th.
We go out to a number of different organizations, and like Kristen said, you know, it gives a chance for some of these organizations to let their own routine volunteers and staff members spend some time with their families. Some of the projects this year, we're volunteering with Meals on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to the Jewish Association for the Aged and Riverview Towers, a couple other nursing homes in the area. We're also going to be doing some work at the National Aviary on the north side, doing a little special project for them. So it really varied across the city in lots of different areas and lots of different types of organizations.
Okay, and is this primarily non-skilled labor, or is this something people have to have a background? Are you looking for people with specific talent?
Oh, no, just a willingness to participate and lots of energy.
Okay, so these are basically non-skilled. These are something you could walk into and like serving dinner or delivering something.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Spending time in the nursing homes, doing activities, playing bingo. Really, anybody can do
sure.
From infants to and on up.
It sounds like the kind of thing you'd want to do every day. I mean, seriously. I mean, in terms of the people in the community looking for ways to help, might find an outlet with these groups and stay with them for the rest of the year.
Absolutely.
So I think that would be an exciting way to participate as well. So you are, is there any requirements to participate? How do people get in touch with you to do this?
Well, there are absolutely no requirements to participate other than the willingness and the energy The best way for people to get more information is to visit our website by going to www.ujf.net and clicking on the Mitzvah Day link. We will have a list of sites. People can register. They can read about projects and pick a project that they're most interested in participating in.
Well, that's great. So it's a whole wide range of things they can do, and it sounds like something for everybody. And hopefully we'll see a lot of people listening to the program today, especially give you a call and want to participate with you. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about Mitzvah Day before we wrap it up?
Well, just one other thing besides, as you mentioned, hopefully, you know, a lot of listeners are going to be inspired to participate. Also, if there is anybody involved in an organization who's listening that, you know, their organization could use some extra help for a couple of hours on December 25th, again, they can go to that same website, www.ujf.net. Click on Mitzvah Day. They'll get the contact information for Ann Richardson, who is the staff member at Federation, who's helping us to coordinate all this. They can get in touch with Ann, and we can maybe arrange to add another location to send some volunteers to.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's a great project, and I hope you do get a lot of response to it. And it's something that is a unique way to spend December 25th and contribute to the community.
Absolutely.
Kristen and Matt Keller, co-chairs of the United Jewish Federation Mitzvah Day in Pittsburgh. We thank you for being with us today on the Jewish Experience.
Well, thanks so much for having us, and we do hope that you will also be one of our participants this year.
Very good. We look forward to it. Have a good job.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Yerushalayim ha-benuyo, ha-benuyo, Yerushalayim ha-benuyo.
Take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
A Jewish name is a description of the intrinsic character contained within a person. A Chaya, which means life, is often a person with nurturing traits. A Liba is often one who is overflowing with love and caring. And a Golda is commonly one with a heart of gold. Of course, you can't say that everyone with the same name will have the same character, but you will notice similar traits expressing themselves that reflect upon a person's name. In Parshas Vayishlach, we are told of an interesting occurrence between Yaakov Avinu, our patriarch Jacob, and an angel. After transporting his family to the other side of the river, Yaakov remembers a jar of oil he left on the other side. Some say that this was the same jar of oil he used to anoint the stones upon which he slept when he had the dream of the ladder. Anyway, Yaakov turns to cross the river again when he meets the guardian angel of Esav, who attempts to destroy him. The two wrestle until just before dawn. The angel, realizing that he cannot win, and also having an urgent appointment in heaven to sing before Hashem at dawn, begs Yaakov to let him go. Yaakov agrees, but only if the angel will bless him. Interestingly enough, the angel chose to bless Yaakov concerning his name. No longer would Yaakov be called by Yaakov, but he would be called Yisrael, because, as the verse says, Sarisa, Yaakov had struggled with an angel and defeated him. The name Yaakov can also denote trickery, as a Hebrew word for trickery, Akav, has similar letters. By changing his name to Yisrael, the angel was telling him that nobody would be able to say that Yaakov got the blessings from Isaac his father through trickery, for the name Yisrael means Yashar Kel, Hashem's honest man. Changing a name can also change a decree. By changing his name from Yaakov to Yisrael, the decree that Esav would kill Yaakov was meaningless, for there was no decree that Esav should kill a Yisrael. Yaakov then poses an unusual question. He asks for the name of the angel. The angel tells him that the names of the angels, because they are messengers of God, are changed according to mission. If an angel was sent to heal somebody, he is called Raphael. If he was sent to help somebody, he is called Azrael. It is not proper for an angel to reveal his name, because then people would associate miracles with that specific angel, instead of attributing it to only Hashem. Furthermore, when a man becomes a victor, he makes his name famous so that all will fear him. But since the angel had not emerged a victor, why would Yaakov want to know his name? Yaakov relents, and the angel blesses him that he should have descendants as righteous as himself. Many things can be learned from this episode of Yaakov and the angel, but one lesson in particular really hit home. It's true that there are many who'd love to have fame and glory, who'd like to be known for their many talents and victories. But the true victors are the ones who do their good deeds in secret, for instead of making their own names known, they sanctify the name of Hashem, which will hasten the coming of Mashiach, our true and final victory. Have a good Shabbos. By the way, the angel who Yaakov fought with was called Samael.
Im eshkachech Yerushalayim hoy tishkach yemini kivat lishoni Ki imay
Time for another classic story from Rabbi Meir Goldwasser. Today's story is sponsored by a Jewish cowboy, Western PA's only Jewish hatter. Call 412-551-6749. 412-551-6749. And now, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
As we mentioned earlier, this coming week is Yod Tes Kislev, the festival of liberation of the Alter Rebbe. Among the many stories that are told regarding the Alter Rebbe's imprisonment is the following. Late at night, it was heard that the soldiers came to Lyozhna to arrest the Rebbe. The commanding officer ordered the Rebbe to be taken by the Black Mary, a black carriage always used for those guilty of treason. Under strict guard of heavily armed soldiers, the carriage left for Petersburg. The Rebbe's calm composure was extraordinary. The following morning, Friday, 6 hours prior to the time of lighting the Shabbos candles, the Rebbe asked the officer in charge to stop and rest until the end of the day of Shabbos. When the officer refused to interrupt the journey, the axles of the carriage broke. From a nearby village, helpers were brought to fix the axles. But then, once the carriage was already repaired, one of the horses suddenly collapsed. A new horse was brought, but strangely enough, the horses were now unable to move the carriage. This was sufficient for the officer to understand that he was confronted with an unusual matter. He approached the Rebbe now and proposed at least to travel on to the next village, but the Rebbe refused any further journeying, though he consented to move to the field adjacent to the road. There he spent the Shabbos. All this happened some 2 miles from the settlement of Rudina near the city of Neville. The Hasidim of Neville knew well the exact spot where the Rebbe spent that Shabbos. The elder Chassid, Rav Michal of Neville, used to tell that he personally knew Hasidim who could point out that place, and he went to see it with his own eyes. He described how along the road on both sides there stood old and dead trees, but where they had parked the carriage and the Rebbe observed the Shabbos, there was a beautiful tall tree, standing erect, adorned with numerous branches. Whenever Rav Michal described this scene in all detail, he became completely involved in his tale, and did so with the moving spirit, which revealed his own great and constant inspiration. The inspiration which he derived from the sight, and later from recalling that tree, was obviously more intense than the inspiration many have presently, even in matters of serving Hashem. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up another special Mitzvah Day edition of the Jewish Experience radio program, a couple of reminders. The Squirrel Hill Kosher Super Pantry Hungry for Bingo event at the JCC Castle Auditorium Sunday, December 10th. The Hanukkah Extravaganza at Lubavitch Center Thursday, December 21st. Call 412-422-7300. The UJF Mitzvah Day, December 25th. The Self-Defense, Jewish Perspective, Continuing Legal Education, Not Just for Lawyers, Monday, December 11th. Call Tzvi Silver for more information to register. Breakfast Club, Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. for men and women at the Kolo Jewish Learning Center. And the Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, Shari Tara, Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Call Elon at 412-422-2224. And call us if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, 412-979-5770, or drop us an email, jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And as the Shabbos approaches, I want to be sure to thank our special guest, Miss Kristen Keller and her husband, Matt, volunteer coordinators and co-chairs for the United Jewish Federation Mitzvah Day, and of course our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and of course our ever-present engineer, Jeremy Bossy, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, no later than 4:35 p.m. It's been a lot of fun, but I'm done. Till next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat.